And this morning I am continuing in our series on spiritual disciplines, following on from what our vicar Steve started with last week. So last week Steve touched on prayer, and this morning I'm looking at the theme of fasting, following on from that. And when we think of this theme of fasting, some of us will come to it maybe wondering how on earth we can ever do something like that. And yet for some of us, you'll think, that's something that I know well, I've done before. And so we'll hold those two experiences together. Some of you for whom this is a big thing and new, and then others, maybe you've done it before. And the joy of coming to look at Scripture is that there was always something new for us. There's a challenge, maybe an encouragement as well, and God always has something to say to us. So keep your Bibles open if you would. I don't know if you have a Bible in front of you, or maybe just follow. Might be easier. Let's just follow. I'll read, and so just follow with me. If you have your own phone, then that might be easier for you to keep up with. So Daniel chapter 10. Sometimes we wonder about the history of fasting. And one of the questions as I was trying to prepare this that people have asked, whether it's commentators or around, they've said, how often did Jesus and the first generation of his followers fast? So we're looking at Daniel, and that's in the Old Testament. But how about Jesus and his followers? How often did they actually do something like this? Is one of the questions I came across. Saying, was it an occasional thing focused on specific or regular causes? Or was it something that perhaps they picked up as a regular discipline? Was it something that they did all the time? Was it for a spiritual purpose? Or was it for their physical health reasons? Why did people fast? And it says here, as most studies of the subject point out, fasting in the Old Testament was associated either with particular festivals, such as the Day of Atonement, with particular intense experiences, say of examples of people like Moses spending 40 days in the presence of God on Mount Sinai. That's also echoed by Jesus' fast in the desert of 40 days, which gives us this season of Lent. And typically, in the prophets and in the writings, fasting, we see, is associated with either grieving or repentance or intense prayer. And so as we come to look at Daniel, we are learning from Daniel. And I would just like to start by asking the question, and we can't exhaust all this, so I'll say some things here and maybe not finish all, but we can always talk about this outside. Learning from Daniel, who was Daniel? And in chapter 1, you can see who Daniel was, if you're following, but if not, I'll just explain. Daniel was a young man. In chapter 1, we find this young man who is described as young, handsome, intellectual. He's from a royal family or background, and he arrives on the scene with three other friends. And as we look through the book of Daniel, through the 12 chapters there, we see Daniel and his friends in the first six chapters. They are young, they are youthful, they have a lot of encounters in court trying to defend the faith. That's what they're wrestling with, standing up for their faith amidst persecution, as it were, in a place in Babylon, in a foreign land, out in exile. They're having to defend the faith. As I read that, it's almost mirrored by Paul in the New Testament, who is doing a similar sort of thing, isn't he? He's stepping out. But then, if that was what Daniel was doing in the first six chapters, why fasting, you may ask? In the next chapters, from 7 to 12, you find Daniel a bit older, and it says, as I read, that actually in this chapter 10, he was about 87 when he's writing. So you've gone from this youthful, very youthful, vibrant Daniel to him at about the age of 87. And in this next 7 to 12, he is receiving visions from God. And it kind of reminds me of what Joel says. Joel says that in the last days, the Spirit of God will be poured, and young men will see visions, and old men will dream dreams. And there is receiving that. So we see the first six sections, he's up for this, and the next sections as well, that is still happening. Now, fasting. In chapter 1, and this almost became a memory verse for me, chapter 1, verse 8, listen to this. It says, so Daniel has arrived into this foreign land. The food that is being offered to him is being offered to idols first. Okay? So it's fantastic food, great meals, all of that. And Daniel says this in chapter 1, verse 8. Daniel resolved in his heart not to defile himself with royal food and wine. And he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself in this way. And as he was negotiating with the official who had been assigned to him, in verse 10, the official says, I'm not sure what's going to happen. If I don't look after you, Daniel, if I don't give you all this food, you're going to be impoverished and you'll be looking really, really grumpy and skinny. And what will I tell my boss? They'll kill me for doing this. And Daniel says, please test your servants for 10 days. Okay, in verse 12 says, give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then compare our appearance with that of the young men who eat the royal food and treat your servants in accordance with what you see. So he agreed. And it says in verse 15, at the end of the days, they looked healthier and better nourished than any of the young men who ate the royal food. So the guard was actually encouraged. In verse 16 it says, the guard took away the choice food and the wine they were to drink and gave them vegetables instead. I don't know whether there are any vegetarians in the house, but I don't think that's really what it's saying. But it's saying here that he made that decision in chapter 1, verse 8. That's the key, isn't it? He said he purposed in his heart not to defile himself with the royal food. Okay, so that's in chapter 1. And as I said, in those first chapters, he's youthful, he's young, so you might think, yes, yes, he's young, he can manage this, he can handle it. Okay, watch this. Chapter 10, that's where we are now, isn't it? We're reading chapter 10. And I said, how old might he be? 87. So he shouldn't be able to fast, you think. Let's read chapter 10, verse 1. It says, now, in chapter 9, Daniel has been praying, and he's been focusing on prayer for forgiveness and coming to God in that way. But in chapter 10, he then does this. At that time, I, Daniel, mourned for 3 weeks. I ate no choice food, no meat or wine touched my lips, and I used no lotions at all until the 3 weeks were over. And we read from verse 4 through to 11, which I won't read right now, what then happens in response to that. It's a bit similar to what happens to Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6, where in response to spending time with God, he has this vision, almost vivid image, and very similar to what you see in Revelation as well. Vivid image of Jesus. And he's also seeing Jesus then speak to him later in chapter 11. It's very, very clearly documented there about what Jesus is saying to him, talking about the redemption of the people of Israel who have been in exile, in captivity. So there is an answer to prayer and redemption and restoration that is happening in response to Daniel's prayer and fasting. So, back to what I said at the start. For some of you, this might be easy, the subject of fasting. For others, it might be hard. Watch Daniel. Daniel starts in Daniel chapter 1 verse 8 saying he purposed in his heart not to defile himself. So it's that spiritual cause that is wanting, isn't it? Yet there is a physical thing that is happening as well as he does that fast. Early on. You see that? So he's healthier than the others. And he's able to then go into the court and wrestle with the scriptures and debate and defend the faith. But then later, when he's 87, he's carrying on a spiritual discipline. So last week we talked on prayer. Here, fasting. He started this when he was younger, and he sustained this throughout. And in Lent, as we talk about these disciplines, maybe it's a time when we could give some of these disciplines a go, like prayer, like fasting, and start. Maybe take it for 40 days, and who knows? Maybe beyond that, you might be able to carry on with that discipline. That happened for Daniel here. And as I come to a close, I just want to ask that question, why fasting? Why? So I've said maybe for a spiritual reason, but also physically. There's intermittent fasting, which is quite a thing, and I'm sure many of you have been able to do that. I have some wonderful stories, and you can ask me of some people here who have been able to do that and the benefits of it. But I want to touch on one other, and this is just coming from my own experience growing up. So most of my life until the age of 22 was spent in Uganda growing up, and so quite a formative season. Fasting, yes, spiritual, physical, but crisis. And I'm sharing that amidst what is going on with the coronavirus. So in a country, in a part of the world where perhaps the resources available are not as much as they might be here. In 1986, 87, there was a coup, military coup, and I remember being there watching. So I might have been about 5, yes, 86, I was 5, looking out from where we used to live in the city, in Kampala. Below us were shops. And as I looked through the balcony there, I could see all these military people, these soldiers running around. There is crisis that's happening. I'm trying to understand with, as a five-year-old then. Of course, now later I know what was happening. It was change of government happening. Soldiers all around with guns and things. Talk about going to Tesco and Waitrose and food running out. Well, they were looting all the shops there, taking things out of there. And some of the times we'll be going to church, and as you walk along the street, perhaps somebody has been gunned down there. Somebody has been gunned down there. You might skip over a body. I don't want to go through many details, but I'm just talking about there is crisis happening there. How was the church reacting in those moments? Calling for fasting. Calling for prayer and fasting. And actually, there wasn't social media as much as there is maybe today here. So how did people know? How did they communicate to the church members? I don't know what were the updates of what was happening. It was just, if you can find a place to pray. And that Psalm 46, God is our refuge and our fortress, a present help in time of trouble. Churches, we see through the times past, have been places of refuge. They've been fortresses, a place of safety. If there is so much that is going on outside that you cannot encounter and you're so hopeless, where do you run? The place that you'll be safest, to the church, to the house of God.